Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
I always love during our shoe swaps, like how during the week I would ask you, okay, Dave, like how, explain to me how you do X, and then you'll do your little description. And this is what you wrote to me this week.
Oh my God.
I can be pretty full on as a flirt. This was, of course, back in my earlier years in the game. Makes it sound like you're 50 years old for a start. I'd pay them a lot of attention. If I fancy someone, they'll end up seeing a bit more of me. And on all fronts, it'll look like a pure coincidence, like they do in chick flicks. On the other hand, I'm also very much a testing the waters kind of person, which could be mistaken as going hot and cold. I could be laying my charms on someone 1 minute, then I'd step back completely and assess the situation to see if they're responding. But no doubt about it, I'm definitely a hunter. I love the chase, 3 exclamation points. I'm the one most likely to ask someone out. And then you sent me a link to some tips that you thought would be helpful. Because basically I wanted to know, like, if there were particular lines that I should be doing, you know, because I wanted to try them out. Of course, I didn't want to breach HR policy. But this is what – okay, so the first step is wear something that makes you feel flirty. So flirting is all about attitude, and while, you know – your flirting may depend on how great you look, the most important thing to do is to dress in a way that makes you feel good about yourself. So if you, even if you look fantastic in your little mini or your heels or, you know, a suit and tie, if you feel completely uncomfortable and not like yourself and you slouch and cross your arms and display this kind of, you know, inappropriate, I guess, body language, then you will end up being a terrible flirt. So you've got to accept yourself and revel in the best features and your individuality. And that's a great and that will give you sort of a great foundation for your flirting, which is confidence. Something I'm completely not familiar with, of course.
Yeah, look, the concept of dressing flirty is, it's kind of hard to grasp, but I guess, you know,
you look great all the time, though, Dave.
No, thanks. But, no, really, I think there's some clothes that accentuate your feature and just makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what dressing flirty is about. It's just putting on an outfit that makes you feel good about yourself is paramount. And, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to be flirting with your next-door neighbor when he or she catches you wheeling out the bin on a Monday morning at, you know, 7 a.m. in your trackies. Unless you feel sexy and flirty in those.
Yeah. I often run out to the bin in my pajama pants. But anyway, and the next step is be playful. Don't be uptight. Don't worry about how you look. Don't get too hung up on everything being perfect. Just relax and smile, crack jokes and laugh and have fun.
Did it mention anywhere to laugh at their jokes, even if it's not funny?
It doesn't, but I think that's probably a good follow-on. Like, that's part of the playfulness, right? Is, you know, laughing and doing that kind of, you know, over-the-top stuff, yeah? I don't know. Like, because the whole time, I couldn't do any of that, right, without having a mental process going on behind it around, okay, well, I guess I better come up with a new joke, or what should I do here? Well, like, God, is it all right for me to laugh now?
Yeah.
Okay, insert smile here, like that kind of stuff. Mm. So, yeah, the idea of just sort of letting it happen is not something I'm completely familiar with. Use positive body language, and Dave, you kind of touched on this before. Angle yourself toward other people, sit or stand with an upright but not stiff posture, and uncross your arms. Make eye contact and smile often. So that makes you look approachable. It makes you look like, you know, you got to make it look like something's happening, right?
I think, no, smiling is so important. That's just with every aspect of everyday life. I mean, if you're starting at, let's say, a new job and you're new to the place, smiling, you know, you just come across as 100% more approachable. And I don't underestimate the power of smiles.
Mm. It
can mean a lot of things.
Step four, break the touch barrier. Touch them lightly on the arm or shoulder when you're talking. Just make it a quick, innocent touch and don't make a big deal about it. So, you know, don't sort of draw attention to it or anything like that.
There are, of course, danger zones where you really should not be touching unless you've gotten a, you know, some sort of permission from them.
Okay, at work?
Yeah, anywhere. Yes, particularly so at work, Jade. You don't need to be told. I swear, you don't need to be told.
Holding hands is also a good way to break the touch barrier. The simple act of touching can strengthen your intimacy between the two of you. So sometimes, you know, the other person will make the first move, but don't wait. Don't sit back and wait, you know, for the first move to happen. You know, don't be afraid to make the first move. Casually tap them while you're laughing.
Yeah, you know, if you're kind of wondering where the danger zones are, obviously it's the naughty bits, but also, I mean, anywhere too close to the inner thigh, don't do it. If you're going to tap someone on the thigh, let's say, okay, let's say you're at a cafe, right, Jade? Mm-hmm. You're sitting sort of adjacent to them or near them, the knee's a good place.
Okay.
Tap the knee.
So that's appropriate.
The knee is appropriate.
Okay.
Don't try to go anywhere high up the thigh, yep. No.
Okay.
The back of the elbow? Oh, the back of your arm?
Yeah.
You know how you tap someone and it's like when you're standing next to them, you can just sort of, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I sound like Nanny Fine. Oh, Mr. Sheffield. Taps lightly on the shoulder or on the back of the elbow.
You rest your head on their shoulder if you're tired and hold their hand when you're nervous. What do you think of that?
That's a little full on for me.
Yeah?
I don't even think I would do that.
I do that all the time.
Do you know what else is good that you didn't mention?
What's that?
A little bit of my trade secret here.
Yeah.
Let's face it, I'm not going to use it for a while.
Yeah.
Might as well just let it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Using inclusive language.
Okay.
Inclusive language like we.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner you can work out the word we into a conversation on your first date.
Oh, so it sounds like you're planning something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very subtle thing, but if you can slip the word we or us or any kind of notion that binds both of you together verbally in a conversation, it actually does something to the other person's head. It actually starts putting an image in the head of both of you together.
Mm.
Stuff like, we are so going to get kicked out of this club, aren't we? If you keep up your behavior.
What are we going to do next?
What are we going to do next? You know, oh, we look so cute together. No, don't say that.
That's probably a bit too overt.
Yeah, it's very overt.
So but what do you do once you've chased?
Oh, gee. Trap it? I guess. I don't know.
Bend and snap?
I only ever really live for the chase.
Okay.
But, you know, we've got an email here from Ryan, who's actually listening from work.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I've actually neglected to mention the most important part of socially awkward flirting. That's the part where you're stressing for about 20 minutes before you actually get the courage to talk to that person.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there. I was a wreck in primary school. Mm. Couldn't do it. I don't think I could still do it today.
No. Nah.
You see, the trick with me is they always ask.
Yeah.
I put myself in a position where you have to ask because it's become very obvious what I want and you need to make the move because if you don't push the button, I might get the wrong idea and move on, to quote the Sugar Babes. Ryan also sent an email. Jade, it sounds like you and I flirt similarly. It's nice to hear other people do self-deprecating and teasing the way I do.
Oh, come on. It's been the same since primary school.
Really? You can do self-deprecating humor in primary school?
Well, you can do like teasing and, you know, you always tease the person you like.
I see.
Yeah.
So, and he also said, my favorite cover is probably Jimi Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower, but White Stripes' cover of Jolene.
Yes.
Or I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself is oh so good. So, yeah.
Because thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. And we're having, you know, a musical theme tonight, as you can tell. It's all covers.
Mm-hmm.
But how about this, Jade?
Yep.
Injecting a little bit more gusto into your flirting.
Oh, okay.
A little bit more spice.
How would I do that?
Bit of va-va-voom. I'm thinking of you in like rouge lipstick now.
I think that breaks rule number one, which is about accepting myself and playing with my best features.
So much contradictions.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. You have to draw your own line, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.